thing I would advise people to do is do as much as you can in-house. Own the means of production, okay? Mm-hmm. And the irony of it all is, I think I saw this come in, you know. You know, today, literally, with one iPhone, you can record music, film a video, take your photos, promote, and do everything off your iPhone now. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of what I was foreseeing back in the sort of late 90s, early 2000s, like, and learn how to do everything that you can do. Do as much as you can and build. Don't chase the record label, record companies, get signed, major label deal. Don't chase it. Because as much as some people will make it, most of us won't. Mm. But if we make that the be and end all of your music career, you're going to miss out on a vast opportunity.
Welcome to Songwriter Trysts. This is an intimate podcast that is connecting songwriters from all over the world. I'm singer-songwriter Ray Lee. Music saved my life, and I love talking with other artists about the power of songwriting and their journey to where they are today. This is a safe space to share stories, lessons, and emotions, all the great things that build an amazing song. Please support the podcast by subscribing, or you can buy us a coffee, all through the website songwritertrysts.com. Welcome to A Songwriter Tryst, and today I have the beautiful Kane Day. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm honoured to be on this podcast, let me be frank with you. And I listened to one of your episodes and I was like, wow, this is really good. And you got so many episodes for me to go through. So I was like, I'm going to binge listen to them all.
Put it on like slightly faster speed or something. I've been doing it for years now. And I still have so much fun doing it. So I'm glad. It makes me happy when I know that someone else is getting use out of it. But I get use out of it too, because I get to talk to cool people like yourself and all the songwriters I've talked to. It's been so much fun. Tell me though, is Kane Day how you release your music, or do you have an artist name that you produce your music under that I haven't mentioned?
Yes. So now I use Kane Day A. I used to use Kane Day, then I found someone else was using the same name. So I thought, okay. Oh, goodness grief. Now, after I spent all this time promoting Kane Day, I now put an A there. But I have released under different names. I also have another project called Project Sunday, which I release under as well. And those are the two current projects. We used to have a couple of others which will be making their way onto Spotify eventually. But as I'm just trying to get all my legacy stuff out there. But right now, Kane Day A is my main focus, and Project Sunday.
Secondary. All right. Let's start with, tell us a little bit about who you are and where you come from.
Okay, so Kane Day, I'm a twin, okay?
Okay,
and
cool.
I'm originally from Nigeria. That's where my parents' background's from, and where Yoruba. And in the Yoruba tradition, so as a twin, you know, Kane Day means the second born, or came from behind, if you do the transliteration.
Okay.
And my twin brother's name is Taiwo, which means go and test the world. And so the Yoruba tradition is that Kane Day is the senior one, because he sends the other one out first and says, report back if it's good.
Like you had a choice. Like he's like, nah, mate, don't come out. And you're like, yeah, okay, I'm staying.
Yeah, man, no, this world is not good, man. Stay in. Nah, you're coming out when you're lucky.
You come out, you're going to spend the rest of your life trying to get back in.
Yeah. I was born in London and grew up in London in late 60s. So, yeah, I'm old codger. Uh-huh. Grew up in the 70s and moved back to Nigeria in 1977. Well, moved to Nigeria in 1977. Mm-hmm. And then I stayed there till I finished uni and then moved back to England. And then I married an Australian, ended up here.
Crazy.
And I'm here ever since. Not married anymore, by the way, so you know.
That's hard. Marriage is hard. I was listening to something off topic, but it's kind of on topic for me right now, because you mentioned marriage. I've been watching this thing on YouTube called How to Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. And he's a pastor and he references this verse in the Bible where it's like, it's good for a man not to marry because a married man will have trouble in this life. And I was like, gosh, they know, they knew, they just know, you know. Anyway, yeah. It's hard.
All relationships are hard, but I don't know if it's, I think sometimes we set ourselves up, if you know what I mean. If we keep telling everybody it's easy, it's going to breeze through, you're going to enjoy it, maybe you might.
Yeah.
It's hard, you got to work at it, you know, it's like, oh my God, it's.
Just take it as difficult. It comes.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you're here, and how did you get into music? Where did the musical flair come from?
Okay. All right. Now this is interesting because sometimes I ask myself that as well. But I remember as a little kid, we listened to a lot of reggae music. That was something my dad played, and I was fascinated with records. So we had this big radiogram. I don't know if you ever know about these things, but Google them.
Yeah,
they're brilliant. And we used to look at we had those record changers where you stack all the records up and then they drop one by one and then you play them.
Yep.
So what my
CD stacker.
Yeah. So what my twin and I used to do, we used to take our tricycle, turn it on its side so you got the wheels, then cut pieces of paper in circles and put them on the wheels and then just pretend that we're singing along to the songs.
Oh, that's so cute. So you were like making up songs and pretending it was playing on a record.
Yeah. I don't know how old I was, but I'm probably about 4 or 5 or something like that.
Yeah. Very creative.
But yeah, but then I kind of left music, apart from just, you know, listening to it as a kid, until about the mid-80s. And then I became really interested in the pop charts. I was living in Nigeria then. We'd moved back to Nigeria then. Mm-hmm. And I was really into, like, you know, the British top 20, the American top 10. And I was a chart junkie to write the weekly charts in a book every week.
Wow. So you just wanted to know who was where and like it kind of became a sport.
Yes. I was a bit of a chart nerd, as they say. And I had a friend who had all these records and used to just listen to them and play them. And, you know, you sort of wanted to be a pop star, sort of daydream about that.
Yeah.
But I couldn't really see anything happening back then. Mm. But then it really changed when I saw an advert for this keyboard called the Ensoniq EPS. I'll never forget it. I was looking at it, I'm going, oh my God, I'm going to have that keyboard. I must get that keyboard. And
I did. It's going to make my dreams come true. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And cool. Then I found I wasn't able to use it that much because, you know, the sample memory wasn't that great. So I changed it and bought the Yamaha V50, which mm-hmm. I still have.
Wow.
And I started writing music on it. It just flowed naturally, you know.
Yeah,
I didn't really have any formal music training apart from playing the recorder in school.
Yeah.
And I just hated music class. All the theory, I just said, no, I'm not doing
music. I think most creative people do. You're either into music theory or you're not. And I've spoken to Grammy Award-winning people who are like, oh, I can't really read music. I'm not that into music theory. But they love to create and build the story, build the song, build the music. It's a completely different part of the brain, I think. It's like your academic versus creative sort of two powers fighting against each other. And then every now and then you get a savant who's good at both.
Yes. I sort of wish I'd learned how to play the piano as when I was really young. I learned how to play keyboard/piano when I was writing and producing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how it is. You get bad habits which you can't unlearn. And so my fingers have a certain way of playing.
Yeah, so, yeah. So trained people, when they're watching you play, they're like, what is he doing? Yeah, because I learn on piano and then I self-taught guitar and I can always spit the guitar, like the proper guitar players in the crowd, because they're always looking at me weird and they're looking at my fingers going, oh, what is she doing? Like, yeah,
you know,
like, that's all wrong. And I'm like, eh, it sounds good to me, so I'm good.
The guitar was my first musical instrument. I played the guitar first. Yeah.
For the recorder or?
No. The recorder, yes, that was something we did in school and we did play it. And I could actually read music in school using the recorder.
Yeah.
But I lost all of that. And then I learned how to play the guitar And I never forget, I had this guy who's really played all this reggae stuff in Nigeria, and he taught me all the chords. And he said to me, the F chord, don't worry, it'll kill your fingers, but you really have to really bend. So he used to make me bend my thumb towards my forearm so that I could get the ability to hold that F note. I did, eventually. Okay.
Interesting. See, I just have long fingers, so I think it's naturally easier for me because I have big hands, but I do see some people with little hands and think, oh, that might, that would be just another challenge. I don't think it means you can't be a musician. I just think it's another challenge that I don't have to worry about because I have big hands. Okay, so what happened when you got this keyboard and you were like, all right, I'm going to start recording and releasing music? What was...
Okay, so... I got the keyboard in 1989, and 1989 was one of the best years of my life I can remember. I went to England on holiday. Well, my brother's already moved there, so we're living there. Yeah. My twin and I, then we bought the EPS. We played around with it for a bit, and then I bought the Yamaha V50. I used to just play all the black notes. That was the first way I started making music, just hitting the black notes because I couldn't play any chords. Okay. And then I got a chord book and learnt the chords. And then I went back to Nigeria and started playing and just writing because, you know, when you have this new keyboard that you've never, and it could do everything. I had a drum machine, I had a sequencer, and I could literally put whole tracks. I had 8 tracks to put music, and I was just writing music day in, day out. I couldn't sing at that point. I couldn't sing, and I had no singer either. So I was just doing all the instrumentals.
Yeah.
Eventually, I then started writing songs because I'd actually, when I was playing the guitar, I was actually writing songs as well. So I was writing a lot of songs with the guitar, and, you know, in Nigeria, you know, once you became like a Christian, that was all you did. Gospel music, that was it.
Of course. Yep.
So I write all these
religion
sort of
at least
songs.
Got a lot of people into music. It's one of the good things it's done.
That's right. And I started writing songs, and I still have that book that I wrote all those songs and all those years ago. And it just snowballed from there. Eventually, I was working with this other girl and we were singing together. And then we went into a studio and did a demo, and I moved back to England and I just carried on writing. It took me a long time to I started going into studios as well just to record vocals, but because I wasn't a really great singer at the time, it was just like, okay. So, this isn't great sounding.
Okay, so you weren't happy with the sounds you were getting out of the studio. How did you fix that?
Got lessons, and I learned how to sing. And then I start, and I was really into home studios as well because my brother had he had every single tech gear that came out in music. He had it all. He had the Apple computer at the time. He had the early days of Pro Tools, which was sound tools. Yeah. And I was just like, okay, well, I don't have any of this. All I have is my V50, my Yamaha TG-33, and a tape machine. That was it.
Yeah, yeah.
Eventually, I got a Nikam digital video recorder. And what I used to do was record vocals onto it, bounce down to my brother's DAT recorder called a DAT recorder, and then bounce it back. And then I started doing multi-track vocals that way.
Yeah.
And then I thought, look, let me go into a studio. I can sing a bit now. So I'd go into a studio, put the instrumental on their tape, and take it back home, get a mix of the vocals, and then just manually synchronize them at home and record to tape. So I started learning how to do that. And it really kicked off once I got a computer, because in the mid-90s, in England now, computer technology just went
crazy.
It went crazy and affordable. And then I got Micrologic and then Cakewalk Pro Audio, and then... Actually, I started with Cakewalk Home Studio, which had 4-track audio recorder. on my computer. So I was able to record at home. And I recorded a dance track. It's like a sort of gospel-y sort of song called It's Gonna Be All Right.
Yeah.
And the very first version of it, I took it to his promotions guy, and they ripped the shreds out of his head. Oh, yeah, we like the music, but the vocals really... Can I swear on here?
No. Yeah, that's fine. So they didn't like it.
Fuck shit. And I was so depressed, but my wife at the time was like, she was really supportive. I give her that, you know.
Yeah.
She said, all they said to you is just redo it. Just go and re-record it. So I re-recorded it. I sped it up and fixed it and recorded the song and then put it on vinyl, got it released.
Really? And so they were happy with the fix up and you actually went and did it? Because I feel like sometimes people, when they get that sort of rejection, they just kind of give up and they're like, oh, no, it's not for me and it's not going to work out. But you fixed it and you released it.
Yes. I went through a different distributor. It was okay. I mean, I it was an ordeal, but it was fun because I got the record mastered in America, like for vinyl. They shipped down the stampers, and before that I went to an actual studio to get it, you know, put on, you know, mastered properly.
Mm.
And the guy, I'd done like a pre-master at home because I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just doing all this. I thought, oh yeah, the vocal needs a bit brighter here, this.
Okay,
and then the mastering engineer just fixed it up. And it was an eye-opener watching what he was doing and how he worked. And then I then made about 100 or so copies, took them to a few distributors.
Yeah.
And I also had I was part of the Christian dance music community in England at the time. And so there were a few guys like us who just wanted to make house music and dance music, but with sort of gospel vibes.
Yeah. Okay.
And we got it on this radio station. I think it was Cross Rhythms, I think.
Okay.
And yeah, the guy, DJ Coupoid, gave it a spin. And I tell you, there's a complete feeling that you can't describe when you hear your music on a radio for the first time. It's going to be like, my radio, song's on radio. It's wow.
It's the best feeling. And it's always, I don't know about you, but maybe it's like a self-worth thing, but I'm always surprised when anyone plays my songs on radio. And I've had a lot of songs on radio now, and I'm still just kind of like, why do they do that? That's so weird.
Yes.
It's nice. It's encouraging.
It's a good feeling. Yes, it is.
Yeah. No, that's brilliant. Oh, I'm so glad that that happened. So what was your next steps from that first time hearing your song on radio? What did that do for you and where did you go from there?
Okay, so, I was still really doing gospel music at that time. And the next thing I did was to actually form a group called Vision of Heaven. Now, I had this idea like years ago. In fact, it was the group I had in Nigeria. But I got these two girls to come and sing and dance. And then I recorded a song called Dreaming, which is, I tend to, you know, I write when I've got something to write about. And I remember it was either for like this label was doing this compilation album and they wanted to start some gospel songs and stuff. So I thought, oh, okay, I'll write a song about Joseph, the dreamer, sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, cool.
So I wrote the song Dreaming and then we got the girls to sing and then took it to a few labels. They were like, okay, yeah, we really like this. And I just had the idea, well, why don't we do an album? So then we recorded an album and, yeah, unfortunately, things didn't work out for the group that way. But that's
working
how
in a group is a challenge, but it's worth a try.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yes. But the good thing was I learned my vocal production chops doing that.
Awesome. Okay.
I learned about layering vocals and multi-layering and using effects. I grew up as a producer in terms of vocals through that project, I'll tell you that.
That's good. And you've taken something from it, you've learned from it. If you can at least learn something from everything you do, then you're on a winning streak. So with all the stuff that you've done now, what would you say has been the biggest lesson that you maybe wish you had have learned earlier, or just the biggest thing that you would pass on to other people who are out there, you know, doing something similar to you? What advice can you give them?
The thing I would advise people to do is do as much as you can in-house. Own the means of production, okay? Mm-hmm. And the irony of it all is I think I saw this come in, you know. You know, today, literally, with one iPhone, you can record music, film a video, take your photos, promote and do everything off your iPhone now. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of what I was foreseeing back in the sort of late 90s, early 2000s, like, and learn how to do everything that you can do. Do as much as you can and build. Don't chase the record label, record companies, get signed, major label deal. Don't chase it. Because as much as some people will make it, most of us won't. Mm. But if we make that the be and end all of your music career, you're going to miss out on a vast opportunity that you have. And I missed out on it because I was so super focused. Get songs, get a demo. I was all over the place. Yeah. I was not very focused. I didn't have a cohesive plan because we were learning as we went along. Yeah. Now we got all this experience from other people. We can see what works, what doesn't work. And I would just say to anyone, like, okay, build and they will come. Set up your own place in the world, whether it's a website. And then everything else is a satellite and they must all link back to your website, because you could build a million followers on Instagram, tweet one thing that pisses off Zuckerberg, your Instagram is gone with your millions of followers.
and it happens to so many people.
It does. I see it all the time, and people like trying to get their account backs and like crying, and it's like, okay.
That's probably good advice to everyone, fans and to musicians, to make sure that if you've got an artist that you actually want to stay in touch with, or you want to follow and you want to know what's going on, sign up to their email list. That's the best way to keep in contact with someone, because they own that. Whereas,
yes,
like you said, social media, the social media company owns those accounts. We just are using them to kind of call out, go, hey, look at me, like I'm here. But if you find someone through that method that you want to follow and support, definitely sign up to their email list, because that's the best way to stay directly in contact with them.
Yeah, spot on.
Yeah, no, I love it. I wanted to ask you about co-writing or collaborating when it comes to songwriting. Have you done a lot of that? What's been your experience?
Yes, I've done a lot of collaboration. Okay, so when I moved to Australia, I moved to Australia on the bass, and I said this to my ex-wife. I said, right, if we're coming to Australia, I'm doing music, all right? I'm not going to get a 9-to-5 job. And I think she was so happy for us to leave England and come to Australia that, yeah. So I started. Yeah, she agreed.
But she's now single.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's how it is. You know.
That's how it is. That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I started, when I came to Australia, I got there was a magazine. What was it? You had a Beat magazine, and then there was another one, which is a smaller one. I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, I looked at the back and said, right, I need to find singers. And, oh, just an aside, a friend of ours in London was singing teachers, David and Carrie Grant, and they sang in our church that we went to, but they also taught Spice Girls, All Saints, and a whole load of pop stars.
That's crazy.
So I started to see the value of vocal coaches more. I mean, I have used a couple when I was in England. And so when I came to Australia, I was like, right, okay, I need singers. Where am I going to find singers? Right, look for a singing teacher. And I found this guy called Cosimo Ciccone. Okay. And he was using something called speech level singing, which I'd heard of because Michael Jackson used it. Right. So I went to him and I said, look, I'm looking for singers. And he said, look, Kenny, this is what you need to do. You're a producer. Do this. Get all the singers and work with them, et cetera, et cetera. So I started co-writing with everyone that I was working with, pretty much.
Yeah.
Some of them have never written before, and I had this little technique to get people to start to write. I used to say to people that, look, everyone can write. That's my belief, and everyone can sing, because that's we as humans, we can do that. We just usually get taught not to as we're growing up. Shut up. Stop making noise. Oh, your poems are rubbish, you know.
My reports as a kid, I look at them now and they all said, oh, in maths and science, it'd be like, she sings too much. Literally, that's what it would say in my school reports. Yeah. I'm a singer. That's who I am, right?
And, you know, collaboration is great because I approach this like a blank canvas. So it's like I will ask him, okay, what kind of music do you like? Oh, we want to do R&B, or I want to do pop like Britney Spears or whatever. Or if I feel, oh, you got really this rock vibe. But I wasn't really a rock producer, so I would take that vocals and sort of mix it with kind of like R&B pop whatever mishmash of music that I'd known, but I'd play on the keyboard, but I didn't play guitar anymore. I stopped playing the guitar. Okay. So we'd get them to write a bunch of random words on a piece of paper. Just write random words. First thing that comes to head, don't think about it. Write. And then, okay, when they've written 20 random words, I say, right, pick three of those. And we're going to base a song around those three selections.
I like that idea. That sounds really random and fun. And maybe allowing your body to tell you what to do rather than thinking it too much. I love that.
Yeah. And then it was just, you just snowballed from there. And, you know, I always like working with people. And on the Project Sunday album that is out on Spotify, there's friend I met from playing football here, a soccer as they call it in Australia. And he was like 50-year-old guy, and he was like, oh, Kenny, I've got all these songs, I really don't know what to do with them. I said, all right, let me hear them. So he would try and play them on the keyboard, and it wasn't very good playing it on the keyboard, but I could hear the songs. I can hear, you got some good stuff here.
Yeah.
And so we did an album of songs, and we got this singer that I was working with at the time to do the vocals, and I did the vocals as well. And we sort of revisited them every few years, and like now we've put it out on Spotify as an album.
Yay,
and added a couple of new songs to it, and so doing the work of trying to get it to people, like promoting it on TikTok and promoting it on Spotify and so on and so forth. But
I'll type it in the link of the description so that people can go check it out.
Yes, I will do. Yeah. I love writing with people. The only drawback with writing with people is if you need to do something, you have to keep calling them. Hey, we need to put this out here. What do you think? And, artists are not very known for being very reliable.
I've just released a collaboration that was my first hip-hop collaboration this month, actually. It's called Black Rose, and it was with some hip-hop artists. And we wrote and recorded, I sent them the vocals for this song, in 2019. I haven't redone the vocals since then. I just was patient. I actually kind of gave up after a couple of years that it may never happen. And it finally, I kind of just wasn't angry or anything. I just sort of kept on touching base, like, hey, how's the song going? Like, when are you going to release it? And they finally released it this month. And I love it. I'm so excited that they did. It's really cool.
Yeah.
But sometimes it takes time.
You're right. And just the way things are, you know, we with the best intentions, we want to get it out there quick and do this. But in Australia, it is very, very, very hard. You know, because if you're not doing rock, right, pub rock or whatever, you really haven't got a lot of places to perform.
Yeah.
If you're not doing any kind of dance music and you're doing just pure pop, apart from your singing school concert, you really have nowhere to perform unless you're in a covers band.
Yeah.
And you try and go to like the sort of rock venue. You need to have thick skin, just put it that way.
You do. And you've got to create opportunities for yourself, which I'm an original artist. I really don't do covers. I've done cover gigs to kind of help out people or whatever, but it's not something I chase. And it is, I have to create my own events. I have to put on my own shows, and you've just kind of got to start from the ground up. But at the same time, yes, when you do have success and you do start to build up that sort of following and yet people start buying tickets to your shows, it's more rewarding because you've had to put in more effort. You haven't just sort of walked into a venue that already is set up for you. So I think there's always, if there's a will, there's a way, but you have to be willing to work hard at it as well.
You know what? You know what? You're absolutely right. And you just reminded me of something because, you know, I remember back in the day when I was producing, I looked at the landscape and said, okay, right, if we're going to go and gig, you're going to gig every week. In fact, I looked at all the bands that were successful and they would have gigged for years before a record company says, all right, you've done the hard yards in the circuit, let's now promote you and that sort of thing. And I thought, there's got to be other ways, right? And television was one way.
Yeah.
And eventually I did a TV show called My Pop Diary. And it was kind of like a reality / docu-soap sort of thing.
Okay.
It's on YouTube.
Really? Oh, okay. I have to see this. You have to send me the link. That sounds like fun.
I'll send you the link.
Okay.
And that was very interesting. I tell you what, back in the day, we had this, like, you know, the camcorder sort of thing. And I was working with this singer and she would always be playing around with the camcorder. So we ended up having lots of footage and she was so into doing videos.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, oh, let's do a video, let's do a video.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I said, okay, organize it and we do it. And so we ended up having a lot of content that was able to put into the show. And you're right. It's now, when you think about it, you've got TikTok, you've got Instagram, you've got all of these platforms.
All about the video. Yeah.
And I just look at all those years and all the sort of stuff I was doing and I was like, okay, it's kind of like training yourself for the future.
Yeah, and that's how you got to look at life. It's so brilliant.
Yeah.
We've only got a few minutes left because I'm going to run out of time. But I want to ask you, if you could collaborate with anyone in the world, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Oh, okay. If I could collaborate anyone dead or alive.
Yes. Someone who really inspires
you. Very different. Well, in terms of inspiration, can only be one, you know. It's the king of pop himself. It has to be Michael Jackson because
obviously.
He inspires me from vocals. He inspires me and Quincy Jones, actually. It's hard. I can't. If I have to pick one person, I'll pick Michael Jackson.
Both.
Because,
I mean, they worked together, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yes, they did. I'll pick Michael Jackson because I would learn a lot from his voice, vocals and some of the things he's done in the studio as well.
Mm.
So that's who I'd pick.
I love that. And you know, I think he inspired a lot of people and that's what happens when someone is truly great and they give everything into what they're doing. Not only do they create great art, but they also inspire the creatives in the world to get out there and try new things and give it a go as well. So I love that. That's so cool. So I've got a few minutes left. I want you to tell me what's coming up next for you. How can people connect with you? I'm going to put all your links to socials and anything else that you send me into the description of the podcast. But what would you like to share with the audience before we finish up?
Okay, so we've got the Project Sunday album out and I'm going to also be releasing more music under my own name, Kane Day A.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to put together like a compilation of all the songs I've actually written over the years. And I'm also doing this sort of, you know, everyone's talking about AI. I've got this thing called a Vocaloid, which I've been using to write songs and use as a kind of vocalist, female vocalist, because obviously male vocals I do myself.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to release a couple of songs using Vocaloid, which is which is quite an interesting thing.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that goes with the AI stuff.
Yeah, and it's got this whole subculture to it.
Yeah.
Most of the stuff is going to be promoted through my website, myhotmusic.com, as the sort of focal point. And then my other website vhprecords.com as well. So, and all the socials will be connected to them.
Sounds great. Yeah. And I'll put all the socials in there, but I'll get you to send me the links as well so I can make sure they're all correct. But thank you so much for jumping on and sharing some of your experience and how you've, like, your attitude towards what you've been through and what you've done, you've just learned. That really inspires me, because it can be tough as a creative out there trying to just keep doing it. And when someone doesn't like it, it can be easy to just go, oh, well, if they don't like it, then it's no good. But actually, if you like it, it's good. You just got to keep going and make the adjustments where you need to.
Yeah. I want to just sort of say this. Somebody said, I went to a record shop once. I was trying to, you know, play like a compilation of my different sort of music I'd made when I was in England.
Yeah.
And so they played this sort of techno song, and the guy just, it's rubbish, turned it off, played the next one. And then as he was just about to just dismiss everything, his partner in the shop said, no, don't say that. They said, there's a market for everything. It's just a question of the size. So you could focus on this sort of stuff, which I think is better, you know, your better music. Yeah. And in a way, he was right. Yeah. So it's like, make the music you like, do stuff you like, and build it one by one. And there's one form of marketing that was always available to everyone, and it costs nothing. It's called word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Each one, reach one.
Yeah, and it's, people get to know you, and then they love to hear the art that comes from the artist. But this is, I like this because I like to get to know the artists themselves. So yeah. I really appreciate you sharing a bit of who you are with us today. And I look forward to sharing this with the audience. Thanks for joining our songwriter Tris today. To join the family and keep up to date with future podcasts, you can follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter. Please leave a review and subscribe. To support the podcast or contact me or our guest, please go to the website songwritertrists.com. Crowd, no one can hear me. Wish I could.